So the first thing I'd like to do is start, because this is radio, and make sure that we have the right person in the room, because they can't see you. They know my voice, but let's see if they recognize yours. So what is your name, sir?
My name is Stuart Staples.
And now it's Stuart A. Staples for the first time, is it not?
When I write it down, yeah.
So. Only when you write, but not when you say it. So my audience probably feels they know you well, because I was at a shop called Select a Disc in London, and I was shopping. And I went to the counter to ask who the band on the PA was. And it was a very Nick Hornby high fidelity moment. They said, oh my goodness, you haven't heard of Tindersticks? And I said, no, I had. And next thing you know, they piled me up with everything to date. And so that said, I've been unable to find any bio on you before the band whatsoever. Is that intentional?
No, not really. It was, if people want to write things, they can, but... No.
So give me a little bit of history pre-band.
I used to work in Select a Disc, actually. So.
Did you really?
In the original one in Nottingham.
So I know you worked at Rough Trade,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, before I worked at Rough Trade, I worked at Select a Disc in Nottingham, which was kind of the indie store in Nottingham.
That was the real store.
So, yeah. So, and Neil, the guitarist, he worked there too a long time ago. Started playing music when I was about 17, and that was in a band with Neil, who's in Tindersticks and plays guitar with me at the moment, and played in various bands and gradually met people in Nottingham, and got to a point where it wasn't going anywhere, and myself and David, who plays piano, moved to London, and more or less with Dick and the violin player started the band.
So really is a high fidelity life you've had there, working in the record shop and meeting people and hearing lots of music. And
I had a few jobs, but I always got, my mind was never on it, you know? So even Select a Disc, they fired me. And that was a record shop, and they said because my mind wasn't on it, you know?
So. You get fired from a record shop, that tells you better do something else, right?
That's right.
Because that's supposedly the easy job, right? It's like, okay, well, you're not putting ABC under the A's. You put them under the B's and the C's because you wanted to be creative.
It's more like, I think, working in a record shop, it's like a great education. And I think especially moving to London and starting to work in the Rough Trade shop, it was opened my mind to so many different things.
Well, it's a legendary, legendary place. Is this the first time you've played these songs in the U.S.?
Yes.
So is that kind of scary?
I'm always a bit scared.
that's human nature.
Yeah, but I think it's just I'm really enjoying playing music at the moment, and I think that's it's kind of really refreshing, as though kind of coming out of a maybe a little bit of a rut, you know? So.
Many reviewers, and I've looked a lot, have called this album a secret message to the ending of Tindersticks, which I found very funny. But I've heard you say it's more about stepping into an unknown life, both musically and personally. So what was your reason and feelings behind making the record? And you notice I'm not going to ask you about the Tindersticks thing, because we all know what that's about. That's called, it's a moving target, and when you're ready, you're ready, and when you're not, you're not.
No, I think it runs a little, I mean, it's part of my life, you know, the band, and it's part of my life. But also, I suppose I reached a point when I found myself writing lots of words, and I haven't been writing words for a long time. In a way of, I've been thinking a different kind of way about songs, and I was at a point where I think the band were moving apart from each other, and also I was losing my desire to be in London, and to that my life was changing, you know, and I suppose. Looking back now, that was 2 years ago when I wrote all these songs, a year and a half. So it kind of makes more sense to me. It's kind of approaching a change, you know?
But some of these leaving themes were explored on Waiting for the Moon, Say Goodbye to the City, Trying to Find a Home. So the subject's been on your mind for a while.
Oh, yeah. No, it's been there for a long
yeah.
time. But I think the closer you get to the line, the kind of... the more real everything gets, you know? And I think I think with Say Goodbye to the City was kind of a, you know, it's kind of, where did that come from, you know? Like sometimes songs kind of show you how you feel that you don't realize, you know?
Now, you went all the way to Nashville to Mark Nevers from Lamb Chop Studio to record Leaving Songs. Now, you worked with him back in 2000. Did these songs just feel like they belonged there and now was the time? Because it's an interesting thing. I was listening to Tinder Sticks and then I listened to this album, and a lot of the voice is obviously the same and the sounds are the same, but there is a very different sonic and tone to the album. It is different.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, I think it's... I like to... I suppose in my mind, you know, I had... I wanted the record to be very direct. I didn't want it to be... I wanted every moment of it to be relevant, you know, and not to. I think with making Tinder Sticks albums, it was a lot of the kind of, you kind of work to create the spaces to let your imagination flow in. Whereas I wanted this album to be very, very direct, not for it to revolve around the words. And I suppose with Mark, after working with him in 2000, he was always encouraging me to come over, you know. Like, come over, make a record, get some guys in. You don't like them, we'll get some more in, you know. And which is such an alien kind of concept for me, you know. And so,
as opposed to the normal mates.
Yeah, no, definitely. But so I found a kind of compromise and went there. And I went there with Neil and David and Volker from Calexico and Thomas, who plays drums, over there for a couple of weeks, and just walked in with my songs, and we had 2.5 weeks to see what we could do, you know.
But you brought them back to London. I think the quote that I read was to, quote, realize them, and then you still brought in more longtime collaborators and some new ones. So this is not a solo, to say this is like a singer-songwriter solo record would totally be a misnomer, wouldn't it?
Oh, yeah, I mean, I think, you know, to me, for what I do, it's, I suppose when I write a song, it's kind of just something that kind of sparks my imagination. I understand it at that moment, even though I couldn't describe it. And it's not about, understanding the feeling of it. And what that's kind of led me from when I started Tinder Sticks to do is that the production, the recording, the arrangements are all, they're all in that moment, you know? And I have to find ways to find that, to experiment, to get to it. And I suppose with people like Terry Edwards or Lucy, who plays the violin, they're the people they have patience with me to say, okay, this is, I hear it like this. And for them to kind of take that and bring something else, and for us to have a conversation and find out what that thing is that I'm looking for, you know?
But now Lasse started as a singer at the age, I just read this, I didn't even know this, at the age of 13, right here in San Francisco. She started on the streets of San Francisco before making her home in Montreal, where my mom is from. So tell me a little bit about, you know, a little bit more about, you know, the process of working with the female vocalist, because I know that Leaving Song, to me, I melted when I heard it. And I, you know, when I say melted, it was just, you got, it's 4 minutes and 48 seconds, you just got sucked. I got sucked. Every time I hear it, I get sucked into it. I played it for a friend today, and she said, oh my goodness, this is the most romantic song I've ever heard about going away.
Lass is just, I don't know, she's just, I've done a lot of duets, and I've really enjoyed doing them all, but when I sang with Lasse for the first time, it was kind of something strange, you know. It was she understood something, and I think I understood I understand something of her. And when she came to sing the song on Leaving Song, she you know, we kind of gave ourselves two days, and ended up having a great time for like two days, and went in the studio for an hour and recorded.
A lot of prep to get the emotion where it needed to be.
We gave ourselves a day. We went in the studio at lunchtime, sang it, and you know, by the middle of the afternoon we were finished. Because I'm always a little suspicious of easy things, you know, but for her and singing together, it is a very easy thing for me.
It's a very short and selective U.S. tour. Were these cities you felt would be right for these songs, or right, you know, because, you know, we were talking about this earlier, that Tinder Sticks is a very interesting band in that it's iconic in many ways, and yet, you know, people either know the band and know you or they don't. So this is a pretty very short selective tour for this album. Was that intended in the places that you selected?
I think it's I'm really glad to be here, because this is this is kind of one of my favorite places I've ever played, you know, and I've played here 4 or 5 times, and it's such a such a fantastic place, Bimbo's, I think.
I know, it's an incredible club.
And it's there's so few places like this left, you know, and particularly, but I think at the beginning of the year or the end of last year we'd finished the album, and I'd never planned to play live, you know. I kind of, on the last Tindersticks album, we played, 100 times in 6 months or something, which is not, for the kind of music that we play, it's not, I can see now that it's just not a good thing to do, because it just relies purely on how you feel. You can't just churn it out. Yeah, you've just got to believe it. You've just got to believe every second of it. And I think by the end of that, everyone was burnt out, but I thought, okay, I'm not going to do this anymore. And but finished these records, and the guys started to murmur about, oh, we should play these live, and I was like, oh, I don't know. And so I got offered a few shows in like obscure Dutch towns in January. Good, but it was just more to do with, I think for me, I understood, you know, that this is. And in the first concert, I understood that this was an important thing for me to do. And if I didn't do it, I was kind of wussing out of something, you know.
So it was a challenge to yourself.
It's just important. I think playing live is the hardest thing, but it's like the most, in a deep way, it's the kind of most rewarding thing to be, to kind of place you in a way of, rather than just in your mind, you kind of drift around. It can actually make sense of what you do as playing songs, making a feeling in a room with people. It can put you in a, you can kind of feel grounded by that, you know?
Now, the other end of all of this is, of course, the business end. And the way people get to music has really changed quite a bit since Tindersticks began, when they were buying, actually, it's the end of buying records, and they were buying CDs. And now, so do you think, for an album like this one, you know, for people to get to the songs, is radio play all that important, or has all this technology helped us in that way?
If I look at my daughter, who's 13, you know, I think it's, if you have a desire to find things, there's you have the tools to find it, you know. So I think that's kind of good in a way, that that's what she does, you know. She can get interested in something, she can go and find out everything she wants to find out about it. And at the moment, you know, it's like, you know, it's like gone from like the Libertines to, she's like into Elvis, and I'm like, where did this come from? Like with my Elvis, you know, the Elvis that I love, it's not that, you know. She likes the early stuff. She likes the raw stuff. Yeah, she likes all of the stuff where it's raw. But because I, you know, generally I don't play that stuff. I generally play like the 60s stuff, like, you know,
right.
So she gets all that, but it's like it's a different person to her, you know. It's like.
But she hasn't convinced you to do a MySpace page yet, has she?
No. She's trying to convince me for her to be my secretary.
Whose idea was it to play the entire second album live, and, you know, recently, and what was that like?
There's like a series of concerts every year in London called Don't Look Back, where a company promoter asks an artist to play an album all the way through. And we got asked last year. And I was in the middle of all this recording, and I didn't want to do it. And I thought it was, at that time, all our albums had just been reissued throughout Europe, and I just had enough of nostalgia, you know? So I thought, but this year we got offered to do it again, and it felt like the right thing to do. And it was a real magical night, you know, and it was so great to be together again and to play the songs. And we played the second album, which I think is the most natural record for us, you know. So much fun we had making it. So now for us, I think whether, you know, it was successful or it wasn't, or it was this or it was that, just for us as a period of time, we were a band that was in balance and having a great time, you know.
We also have gotten Lucky Dog Recordings as a bonus CD, and I had gotten it from England a long time ago, but it wasn't released here originally, was it? So was that a record company idea to say, well, let's, you know, while we're putting out this album, we should give them this too as a bonus?
No, I think it was more about when I was making that record, it was a record I just made kind of on my own, like in my little studio. And I didn't even aim for it to come out on Beggar's Banquet. I was just going to do it as like through a website or something, because I just wanted to do something that was, I suppose, just kind of, I was looking for something, you know, I was looking to approach music in a different way. And I wanted to make something that was kind of scrappy, kind of, you know, kind of a bit, you know, that there were certain things I deliberately didn't care about, you know, sonically, and the things I've spent so much time thinking about in Tinder Sticks, and, you know, where that's got to do with the arrangements, the orchestras, you know, it's, I wanted to do something that was just kind of, if it was dirty, it was dirty, if it was this, it was this, you know, and, but Beggars heard it, and I kind of said, well, I didn't want it to be I just wanted it to be a small thing, and so it just kind of went on from there, really, so.
Now, I just read about Songs for the Young at Heart that you're working on with David and Neil, which are, you know, all children's songs, so my daughter's going to just go nuts over that, obviously. But I also heard there's a different vocalist on every song, so tell me a little bit more about that project.
It was made the same time. It was through Lucky Dog Recordings and through Leaving Songs, and it was an idea of David's about making music from his childhood, and he had a few songs, and that kind of, he brought that in, and we kind of started talking about it, and it just kind of grew, and we started talking about singers, and then we kind of both thought of the same singers for certain songs, and it just kind of stepped very slowly forward. It was about 2.5 years ago we started it, so it's we got finished at the beginning of this year, but it's taken a while to find its record company and get a release. So it's the record I've most enjoyed making for so long. You know, it's been a real joy to make. It's kind of a strange record because it started off. I realised at a certain point that it was an album of as much to do with loss of childhood that children would like. You know, so it's very much to do with our childhood. 1970s Nottingham is like where the kind of feelings come from, I think. You know?
So you've never been one to just stay with music. You've gotten involved in film and so many other things. So what's in the offing? You're going to tour this album, and then?
I'm not really very sure. So it's had a kind of a plan for this year, and after these tours are finished, I've kind of done what I set out to do.